Good morning, everyone. Let's begin this morning with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved, God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, our beloved Guru Deva, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, beloved Swamiji, we lovingly bow before you all. Great Masters, help us to attune ourselves ever more perfectly to your divine presence within. Help us to know that every experience, every single experience in our lives are the perfect opportunity to feel your presence, to feel peace, to know love, to feel ever closer to thee. Be with us always during this time of great change and of great possibility. Help us to transform and to move ever closer to thee. Om peace. Amen. Good morning. I happened to look at my emails before we went live this morning, and I noticed that it's this beautiful little book that Asha's been mentioning and that many of you must know, Scientific Healing Affirmations, that are a book of just that, Healing Affirmations, written by Master, was published exactly 95 years ago today, in 1925. And I thought, just how perfect. We've all been talking so much about affirmations. I know Ash has spoken about them on the last two mornings that she's been here. We actually had a live broadcasted class the other night, really focused on affirmations. And of course we would. It's exactly what we need to do or be doing right now, because affirmations are one of the tools that Master gave us that literally rewire our brain. They literally help us change our mind. So if we can take that step, and it's surprising how challenging it is to sit still, get peaceful, just keep repeating an affirmation. But since we have so much time, maybe all of us could be doing each affirmation, not just more often, but really sitting with it for longer and longer periods of time, so that we're allowing it to fulfill its purpose, which is diving deep into our subconscious mind, bringing that energy up into our conscious mind, and then, in fact, offering it up to the superconscious, where true transformation can happen. Remember, every one of these tools that Master and then Swamiji gave us, right now, more than ever, we need to dive into that tool bag and say, how can I use this? If I've been just going through the affirmations the way we usually do, loudly, with great externalized energy, then as we move to a more and more quiet place, it's not just that we're getting quieter, but we're actually going deeper, and we're consciously moving the energy, moving the thought into our superconscious, so that we will be transformed by saying these affirmations. Remember, affirmations are statements of our highest potential. Doesn't necessarily mean we're there. My mind's battled with me many times. You know that's not true. It'll say to me, Shanti, and I'll say, it is true, and just keep saying it. We cannot let our egos best us right now. So we have a lot of time. We could say the same affirmation. Try it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Just extend the period of time till you feel it as truth. And you'll know in a moment you realize the truth in it. So that's why we're focusing there. And I just thought it was wonderful that right now we get to celebrate 95 years of it. I was realizing over these past few days that while I'm more confined than I've been maybe ever, even though I've done seclusions that are a month long, so it's not that I haven't been quiet, but this sense of being contained and confined is really very different, I imagine, for most of us. And yet, the feeling that came to me was one of true expansiveness, of truly moving out into territories that I rarely have in my life, except maybe after a couple of weeks in some of those longer seclusions that I've done. It was very surprising to me. Then the other night during one of our virtual classes that we were doing, a lot of them these days, but during one of the men on there said, could somebody explain this to me? He said, I keep having a feeling of expansiveness that grows and takes over, and a great sense of joy, he said, that I've never felt before. He went on to say more, but it was so beautiful, and I thought a lot about that. I remember the experience that many of us had when Swami Kriyananda passed. So many comments came online immediately. Within 24 hours, people talking about all of the experiences they were having with Swamiji, people who had never met him even, talking about how he visited them, how they felt his presence. And in all these years since he's passed, many of us feel that we have been able to experience his presence, his guidance in ways that we didn't when he was in his body. Because what is it that gets freed when we move from form to formless? That's part of what's going on with many of us these days. All of what is our usual form, activity, habit, places, we are suddenly left without them. And all of this practice that we've been doing for all of these years is helping us expand into that state of formlessness. It's a great gift of this time if we can be conscious of that, be expecting it, look for it. How can I feel bigger now? I remember hearing Swamiji say so many times, he would say, you know, you would think it would be wonderful just always being there with Master. But he said it was difficult at times. You were sitting there with this man in a human body. He was eating with you. He was wearing clothes. He would get up and leave the room. He would do things that looked so human. And yet the invitation was to tune into him in his formless state, in that, in his divine reality. And Swami used to say that was a challenge. Of course it's a challenge. But, I mean, it would have been for all of us. But even now, what I'm feeling, what others are feeling, what we all have the opportunity to do, one of the many gifts of this time, about feeling ourselves, experiencing really ourselves as our larger selves. I want to just parenthetically almost say something here, because I've been getting a lot of emails where people are saying to me, but what about the pain? The pain is real. How can you or others keep talking about the opportunity in the moment, the joy in the moment, all of the possibility, hearts expanding, when so many people are suffering? And those are very good questions. They've come to me in many ways. And it's brought to mind a story that I remembered for the first time about a month ago, so I've actually shared it with some of you. Many years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity of spending some time with Ram Dass. Many of you will know him. He actually just died about four or five months ago now. But Ram Dass, who was Richard Alpert to begin with, and a professor at Harvard, and he wrote the book Be Here Now. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. That book was published in the very early 70s. He was quite an extraordinary man, and I think for many of us, gave us the opportunity, us meaning Westerners, to first start thinking about spirituality, to consider it, to move into it. We hadn't been talking about it that much in this country, many of us, prior to him. Of course, Master had been here, but most of us were not alive when Master was here, and we weren't necessarily on this path, but we were plugged in other ways. And I was at a conference with him once when a story came up. I couldn't get my mind to remember the specifics. I don't think the woman was actually in this room, but it was a big auditorium. She may have been. But about a woman who had recently lost a child and who was bereft. And before Ram Dass spoke, somebody in the audience spoke up and spoke the way people can, from a little bit of, I could call it spiritual arrogance, maybe it's wishful thinking for them, but they started saying, she just doesn't have any idea about spirituality, spiritual truths. If she did, she would just be able to accept it was her child's time to go. And this woman went on and on like that. I mean, on and on for a minute or two. When she was done, we all waited for Ram Dass to speak. So all eyes were on him. And he started sobbing. I mean, really sobbing, his whole body shaking. He was crying for a minute or two, I don't remember. Felt like a very long time. When he was done, he took out a handkerchief, he wiped his eyes, he blew his nose. He didn't make a comment about it. He just moved from that story and started entertaining other questions and answering them from that very high spiritual place. So what he was saying without saying it is, of course there's pain in this world. Of course we go through loss. You remember when Master said, if you're in a dream and you hit your dream hand with a dream hammer, your dream hand hurts. And we are living a dream. So yes, there is pain here. It's not supposed to be painless. Nobody ever told us it would be. And our hearts have to stay open. And there has to be that compassion. I saw a wonderful thing on the news last night where a man, I'm sure many of you are watching, these extraordinary stories of generosity and kindness. One of the ways transformation is going to happen during this time. And this was a perfect example. Not just that people would be kind, because people do get kind when there's any kind of a crisis or tragedy. We've seen it, boy, in California have we seen it with fires and floods, and it sounds like the 10 plagues here at times. And people give enormously. But this particular story spoke to the transformation that is happening right now. I feel so certain of it. Some of it we've seen, some of it we can't see yet. It could take a long time, but it's happening. This is big enough. The transformation will happen. This man left a several thousand dollar tip when he went to get some takeout food. And at first when he was interviewed, he said, "I just did it because I felt I wanted to contribute to the salaries of the people who were going to lose their jobs." But he actually called the news station back and he said, "I'd love to be able to make another comment." And they went and they interviewed him. And he said, "It was a good thing that I did. And I was doing it to be nice. It was an act of kindness." He said, "But I almost don't have words for the change in me that has happened since I did that." He said, "I know I will never be the same." He said, "I touched into," his words were, "a greater good." Those were great words. Whatever we call superconsciousness, whatever words people are going to find for that now, whether they call it God, or again, we use our term of superconsciousness, which of course doesn't mean much to most people. He called it the greater good, and I just felt like, thank God for him, and that he wanted to put that out, that as we give, we change, that there is such an opportunity in the midst of all of this. So there is pain. We have to learn to not judge that pain. We ourselves, as spiritual aspirants, we chose this path, and we have to decide to not be in judgment of the pain. Is this good or bad? Even to call it pain, to quit calling it pain. You know, we've been going through a lot. I'm speaking to you from Ananda, Palo Alto, and many of you know, we've had a very good opportunity over the past month to re-examine much of which we either feel we know to be true, or when do we fight and consider it a righteous battle? How do we fight? The point of all of what we've been going through isn't so important. But what is very important is that some time ago, somebody in the room while we were meeting said, "We have to quit calling this any word with any negative connotation." And somebody said, "Let's call it the gift." And that's what we've done. And that's what it's become more and more, is this huge challenge which gives us the perfect opportunity to rise to meet it with joy, with conviction, with energy. Lakshmi last night gave the talk on energy from our Raja Yoga class. And the chapter it's masterful. The whole book is. But read that chapter on energy. Swamiji, I mean, it's inspired. It's, the whole book is inspired. But I don't even know if I have the words, but I just would say to you right now, read it. It's not the point of what I want to say, so I don't want to take too much time. But she was talking about, first of all, reminding us of Master's words, the greater the will, the greater the flow of energy. The greater the flow of energy, the greater the magnetism. Swamiji wrote in his chapter, Let me just find the words here to get it exactly right. He said, remember that phrase, emblazon it in your mind. Repeat it several times daily. These are Swami Kriyananda's words. Emblazon it in your mind. That single phrase, he said, can revolutionize your life. Those were his words. The greater the will, the greater the flow of energy. Now, what does that mean to us right now? This gift that we're being presented, this opportunity, is huge. We have to raise our energy, find it, get very conscious like we do during energization exercises. For those of you who don't know what they are, just the perfect opportunity for us to consciously find ourselves in this sea of energy and direct it right where we want it to go. And we now who know them need to say, ah, that's why we practice them, because we need to collect ourselves, collect our energy, and put it where we want it, into creativity, into positivism. Asha's been using that particular affirmation, positive thinking, into our willingness. We need all of that energy. We need to draw it in, raise it up, and say, here, here, so that we are giving battle to our ego in ways that we've never been able to do before. Because quite frankly, we have not been challenged like this. And that challenge becomes spiritual grist for our spiritual mills. Grist for our spiritual mills. The greater the challenge, the greater the opportunity. We need to be practicing right now and look at the opportunity we have. That's why some of us are feeling this moment of expansion. We can't be out there. Lakshmi also told an adorable story yesterday, but the image, just hold this in your mind. She was talking about her 15-month-old niece. First child in the family, first grandchild. And she's FaceTiming with her family a little more right now because everybody's in. Everybody wants, I think, to touch in a little more with each other, and particularly with people who have some spiritual inclination. They may not know why, but we are all people who can be putting that out into the world. Look at the extraordinary realization. Of course, the only way it could happen, but what we're going through right now, this crisis, really, beyond imagination, happened in Dwapara Yuga. It's perfect. It allows us to keep pouring spiritual energy out into the world in so many ways. Well, Lakshmi's FaceTiming with her sister, who has this niece. And Lakshmi said last night, it's amazing. In 10 minutes, the little niece is out there. She's 15 months old, barely walking. She's grabbing, she said, 15 different toys. She'd pick one up, she'd put it down. She'd pick up another one, she'd put it down. And if she even starts to whimper, the mother says, here, honey, here's another toy. That's how we're all taught in this life. We are trained from the instant we come in to look out, not in. Now we have the opportunity to look in. And here is the most meaningful thing I want to say for all of us, that we hold this right now, just as Jesus said, but for this moment were we born. We were born for exactly this moment. Any of you who have chosen to plug in now, or who are going to watch this, listen to these words at any time, we planned this. We waited for it. At that moment of conception, we said, there's my life. We didn't say, there's my life, because look, just I'll get to be on this great path and I'll be with this great teacher. Of course that. But we also chose it for every challenge that we're presented with. It's all been laid out. We've been coming to this for millions of lives. As one writer said that I was recently reading, we've been to hell and back how many times? How many lifetimes? We are ready for this. We are ready. Don't let that ego of yours tell yourself anything else. Don't let it pull you away. I was reading an article that was written by Clarissa, I forget her middle name, it's like Pinkelo or something, I'm sorry, forgive me, I forget it, Estes. She's a beautiful, beautiful soul, a teacher, and she has really many of her own what I would call disciples, but she was talking about despair. And she used this phrase, which I thought was really striking, but she said, I will not put a chair out for it. She said, I will not entertain it. So you just imagine a chair in your living room and entertaining. No chair for any of that negativity. We are not going there. In our language, we will say, not out, not in that direction. No, up, in, and up. And yes, we're ready. And we are the leaders right now. We are the people who are being called upon because the masters know, every one of us, that we're ready for this, that we can be compassionate and loving, we feel people's pain, and we do everything we can do to show them the way to transform every bit of pain in this world now. Transformation is the word. To take that pain, our own fear, our own anxiety, do not put a chair out for it. Don't entertain it. That's what these affirmations do. That's what all of our readings do. I have so much more I'd love to say, but this is a 30-minute talk, and I think we're nearing the end of it, so I want to say two things to you. One, I want to give you an opportunity to feel wonderful and to laugh, and I want you later today to Google, my Jewish son ruined my life, and watch an 8-minute YouTube that was recorded by the 91-year-old mother of James Baras. James Baras is one of the more well-known mindfulness teachers. Just watch it, and you'll get a wonderful laugh, and you'll get a beautiful lesson, because he taught his 91-year-old mother, after every complaint, which she will tell you Jewish mothers are perfect at, they've been honing it their whole lives. They love to complain, and they love to worry. You have to watch her say that. But at the end, every time he heard her complain, he said, Mom, repeat these words. And my life is really very blessed. Complain, complain, complain. And my life is really very blessed. We have our affirmations. We have words that have been, and thoughts that have been put into the ether by a great master, by great masters, by Yogananda and by Swamiji. They are spiritualized. So we don't use her words. But any negative thought, we use our own. Let's close today by saying the affirmation ourself for calmness. I'm going to just read what Swamiji wrote about it, and then we'll do the affirmation. And if we end with this affirmation, if time runs out, beautiful. No better way to and 30 minutes. Swamiji says, calmness is perfectly achieved when life's little wave becomes absorbed into the cosmic sea in divine ecstasy. In daily life, too, we can achieve calmness to a degree by keeping our awareness focused on the reality of the spirit underlying, all outward circumstances. On the reality of the spirit underlying all outward circumstances. Calmness comes with determination to live ever more happily in the present moment, relinquishing the past and not worrying about the future, but placing our lives firmly in God's hands and knowing that He is fully in command. Calmness comes with non-attachment, with knowing that nothing in this world is truly ours. And now the affirmation, though the winds of difficulties howl around me, repeat that to yourself, though the winds of difficulty howl around me, I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. Say it again. Though the winds of difficulties howl around me, I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. Just get that image, standing at the center of life's storms. Such a beautiful image. Every hurricane right at its center. Perfect calmness. Swamiji knew this. Though the winds of difficulty howl around me, I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. Now take it in deep. Make it your truth. Though the winds of difficulty howl around me, I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. And now, silently, up here, all of your energy focused, completely focused at the point between the eyebrows, at the place of perfect calmness. Become calmness. You're not just looking to be calm. Become calmness itself. Though the wind of difficulty howl around me, I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storm. And just repeat it and take it with you all day today, deeper and deeper. Because the instant you become calmness, you are right then one with all that is. That is the point of every one of these affirmations. We become one with all that is. We realize our divine potential. That is the opportunity we're being given right now. Though the winds of difficulty howl around me, I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. I stand forever calmly at the center of life's storms. May we be one in that state of calmness. Om Shanti, Shanti.